my birthday.
I don't know. I've never heard that one.
Wednesday, Thursday, the 18th.
What is the savage day?
It's like where trees have sap or something? I don't know.
So it's like something that when you like do something wrong and sometimes you get in jail if you do something wrong.
About 12 hours of rest.
A lot.
Sometimes I like to wake up at 6.
I had lots of rest on Fridays, Mondays, and school days today and today.
100 rest because I stay up at night to play. Then I sleep for the other half.
I have absolutely loved those videos through this series. Aren't they great? Our kids keep us laughing. And so I got a sneak preview of this on Thursday. And I decided I would go home and ask my 4-year-old Jace, what does Sabbath mean? And he looked at me with a face kind of like, what? And I said, Jace, what does Sabbath mean? And he's like, starts to smirk. He says, peanut butter and jam. I realized we had a bit of work to do at that point. And so we did. And yesterday before I left the house, I said, Jace, do you remember what Sabbath means? And he says, remind me. And so I told him, rest and worship. Okay. And this morning when he woke up and he came down, he snuggled in beside me on the couch and I said, Jace, do you remember what Sabbath is? And he says, rest, worship, and napping. I was like, you got it, buddy. You got it. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm John Caldwell. I am the junior high pastor here on staff. I absolutely love working with our junior high students. They are amazing. And if you're sitting by one, you should tell them they're awesome, because they are. I absolutely love them. And they will surprise you in the best of ways. And then at other times, you just have to remind yourself they're still in junior high. But this weekend, we're continuing our summer series 10, and we are looking at the fourth command, the Sabbath, to take a sacred rest. Now, if you're anything like me, taking the Sabbath or practicing the Sabbath, it's hard to do. As I mentioned, we have a 4-year-old Jace. I also have a 1.5-year-old named Declan, who we have lovingly nicknamed the Destroyer, because when he enters the room, things go everywhere. He is the mischievous one who is climbing on everything, going headfirst over things he shouldn't go headfirst over, but he's willing to give it a try. So they keep us on our toes. So allowing a time for a break doesn't happen too often. But there's a number of reasons why people don't practice the Sabbath. Maybe it's a lack of understanding of what it is or why it's important. As I said, family and kids. Maybe you just think you're too busy to stop. How about trust? Do you just not trust God or trust others to take a day off to rest and let them take care of the stuff? I think the big one in our culture now is FOMO, the fear of missing out. What if I shut off my technology and I miss an important text? What if I shut it off and miss an important post on Instagram or Facebook? What if I push it off to the side and I miss the important phone call? What if you actually just took a break and had a sacred rest? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we've already had in worship and pausing to hear you speak. And God, I ask that now you would just continue to speak. Holy Spirit, challenge us, stretch us, do your work in us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. There's Bibles in the seat backs in front of you as well, or on the FAC app, you can link to it through there. It'll also be on the screen. So Exodus 20, and we're going to verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in the 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, there's so much we can take from this command. It's the longest command of all the commandments. And it's also the one that I think is the hardest, or one of the hardest, to keep. And one of the hardest or most ignored of all the commands. Now, you may be thinking, I take days off. What are you talking about? I take my days off from work. But there's a difference between a day off and a Sabbath. See, on a day off, we just keep doing. Whether it's cutting the grass or cleaning the house or running errands, we're just doing work of a different kind. The simplest definition of Sabbath is to abstain from work. And we just read it's a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. But at the same time, the Sabbath is so much more than abstaining from work. It's also abstaining from that which is taking the place of our time with God. The distractions of TV, of social media, gaming, binge-watching shows on Netflix. You see, Sabbath is a time focusing on rest and worship. Laying aside all that distracts you from intimacy with the Lord. Observance of the Sabbath, along with circumcision and food laws, are one of the main distinguishing marks of the Jewish religion, culture, and national identity. And so it's a matter of primary importance to inscribal teaching and discussion. Now, the command clearly states we work 6 days, and then we rest. But the question is, what's work? See, we're made to work. The first thing we see God doing in the scriptures is he created. And the second thing he did, he rested. He rested from all his creation. The problem with work is that it's actually hard to define. Because what's work for one person is not necessarily work for another. What's work for you may not be work for me. The definition of work is a big deal. What is and is not considered work? Under the Pharisaical Sabbath rules, which are recorded in the Mishnah and referred to as the Oral Law, it contains 39 classes of work. 39 different categories of work, which were all elaborated on to the extreme to make sure everything in life is covered. Now, there's a few things that can happen for you to be okay to break the Sabbath. One, if someone was in imminent danger of dying, you could help them with medical help or whatever you needed to do. And the second one, ladies, you're allowed to have a baby on the Sabbath. Childbirth was okay. And I sure wouldn't have wanted to be the doctor that said, you can't have your baby today. I'm out. But what's work for one is not necessarily work for another. And 6 years ago, I was in Israel. And doing a tour and staying at a number of hotels. And I remember every hotel had an elevator that was labeled Sabbath. And one night I was standing beside our tour guide and we were looking, I was looking at the Sabbath sign on the elevator. And I said, what is with that? And he said, well, on the Sabbath day for that 24 hours, the elevator goes into an automatic mode of going up a floor and down a floor, stopping on every floor, opening the doors and closing. Because the Jewish people can't press a button on the Sabbath. And I thought, that's really interesting, because I feel like turning a door handle would be a lot more work than pressing a button. So how did they get out of their hotel rooms? I didn't get an answer. A little disappointed. But what's work for one is not work for another. Dave Conrad and I were talking a few weeks ago about this sermon, and we were talking about work. And I said, to me, gardening is work. The thought of gardening makes me sweat a little, makes me go, oh man, I just don't want to go pick weeds or do anything like that. It's just work. And he looked at me and he said, John, he's like, gardening brings me such rest. So what is work? See, the definition of work in the Mishnah is complicated, and it just doesn't work. John Mark Comer, in his book, Garden City, he writes, to Jesus, the Mishnah was just rules on top of rules. Some good, and some not so good. But all made up by men, and not God. So we're going to go to the book of Mark, and we're going to go chapter 2. And we'll take a look at an encounter Jesus had with his disciples and some Pharisees. So Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. So here, Jesus and his disciples, they're walking through some grain fields on a Sabbath, and they're hungry. So the disciples start to pick the grain, and the Pharisees call them on it. Say, that's work. But in Deuteronomy 23, it says that they're allowed to pluck the grain with their hands. They just can't use any tools. In Luke's account, not only did the disciples pick the grains with their hand, but they rubbed it in their hand. So now they're breaking two of the Pharisaical laws in the Mishnah. Because to them, to the Pharisees, the disciples were reaping and threshing the grain. And now Jesus, being the rabbi, he's held accountable for what his disciples do. And he has none of this. He won't take it. He uses the example of David and his men eating the sacred bread that only the priests could eat. And Jesus points out that these men did this unlawful act because of the authority David had. Which leads into Jesus' declaration of his authority over the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. Not only did his men break the oral law, but Jesus himself broke the oral law. He healed on many Sabbaths. He wasn't healing because someone was going to die. He healed because they needed healed. He healed because he loved them and wanted to give them a full life. The Pharisees claim that Jesus and his men broke the Sabbath, but as scriptures actually show, Jesus did no such thing. He did ignore the misguided, restrictive regulations of these religious leaders and what they had placed on the Sabbath, and he often showed them how they were wrong. But he never broke God's commands. He couldn't. Had he broken the commands, he would have sinned. And God, Jesus, never sinned. Jesus lived a sinless life, leading to the perfect sacrifice for you and I as he died on the cross. He gave his life for us as our Savior. God gave us an example of rest. Right in the first chapter, second chapter of Genesis, when he rested from all he created. Jesus, throughout the scriptures, gave us an example as well. He often went off on his own to pray and be with the Father. Jesus, fully God, fully man, experienced the need for physical rest. And he modeled it to us. He rested by the well in Samaria while his disciples went and got food. He fell asleep in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus and the disciples were pressed at all sides by the crowds, he exhorted to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Physical rest is a human need. We must take it or we risk burning out, making ourselves ill. We need rest. But the real game changer, verse 27, when Jesus declares, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." See, God created Sabbath for you and I to enjoy and to bring us life. Mark Buchanan wrote in The Rest of God, "That actually is all we need to know how to keep the Sabbath holy. This day was made for us. God gave it to you and to me for our sake, for our benefit, for our strengthening and our replenishment." Have you ever noticed that in the creation story, God blessed three things? The first thing he blesses is the living creatures. And then he says, "Be fruitful and multiply." The second thing he blesses is humans. Again, "Be fruitful and multiply." And the third thing he blesses is a day. And in Genesis 2:3, he says, "God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day he rested from all his work of creation." The only part that's missing, "Be fruitful and multiply." But the fact is that when we practice Sabbath, it has the ability to give us life. And when we practice this, we get the life. When we set aside time for rest and worship, we are abiding in the Lord. And when we abide in the Lord, we grow. And when we grow, we bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, it's fruit that lasts. We're fruitful and multiply. God created a day for us to set aside for rest and worship. In Building a Discipling Culture, Mike Bren writes, "Rest is not an option if we are to walk in the lifestyle of a disciple. If we are supposed to pattern our lives after that of Jesus, it is not our energy and determination that impresses God. It's our living in a manner that he made us that will produce the fruit he intends for us to bear." So how are you doing? Are you getting rest? Do you feel like you're resting? Are you worshiping? Comer writes, "The Creator God is inviting us to join him in this rhythm, this interplay of work and rest. And when we don't accept his invitation, we reap the consequences: fatigue, burnout, anxiety, depression, busyness, starved relationships, worn down immune systems, low energy levels, anger, tension, confusion, emptiness. These are all signs of a life without rest." We live in a culture that doesn't value rest. A 2017 survey showed that only 23% of the American workers used all their vacation time throughout the year. The average employee forfeits almost half their time. And when we do use our vacation time, we don't guard our time off, because it shows that many continue to work remotely. So we work more hours, we add the side hustle, and for what? To keep up with the neighbors? To make ourselves look good? To achieve the idols in our life? To prove how good we are? Or to try to prove our worth? A study done over 9 years showed that skipping vacation days raises your chances of a heart attack by 30 to 50%. Working long hours can boost your mortality rate by 20%. And working more than 40 hours a week increases your risk of stroke by 10%. Arianna Huffington, she's the founder of the Huffington Post. Time called her one of the most influential people in the world. Forbes said she was one of the most powerful people in the world. She sold the Huffington Post for $315 million. Pretty good for something that started out as a blog. So very successful by world standards. She's now the CEO of Thrive Global. They've created an app. And in this app, when you turn it on, it shuts off all incoming communication for whatever time you've turned it on for. Any text messages you get, it responds automatically for you, saying you're busy, and you'll respond at whatever time. It also can monitor your apps that you use and close it out when you hit a time limit. You know those apps like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube where you just get going and all of a sudden it's this black hole and you've been on there watching stupid videos for 2 hours? It'll kick you off. It shuts you out. See, she worked herself into exhaustion to the point of collapsing. And that's where this lifestyle change came from. And the app came from it as well. And when asked about her attempts to change the cultural norms, she responded, "It's become a much more popular opinion as more and more people realize the way we're living and working isn't working. The challenge now is to go from knowing what we need to do to actually doing it. We need to stop equating burnout, sleep deprivation, and being always on with dedication to our jobs. To get there, we need to embrace the science that tells us that when we prioritize our well-being and make time to unplug and recharge, we're actually better and more productive." As I said, there's a difference between a day off and Sabbath. Days off, you just don't go to work, but there's always stuff to do around the house, whether it's cleaning or cutting the grass or, in my case, gardening. We need to take time off. And the Sabbath includes none of that. That's just the other work. When you practice the arts of Sabbath, you rest and you worship. Comer writes, "Sabbath isn't a cold, arbitrary rule we have to obey. It's a life-giving art form that we get to practice." And Buchanan writes, "Sabbath is that one day. It's a reprieve from what you ought to do. Oughts are tyrants, noisy, surly, chronically dissatisfied. Sabbath is the day you trade places with them. They go to the salt mine and you go out dancing. You are given permission, issued a command to be blunt, to turn your back on all the oughts, so that you can turn to whatever you've put off and pushed away for lack of time, lack of room, lack of breath. You get to shuck the have-tos and lay hold of the get-tos." If we begin to practice Sabbath by asking the question, am I allowed to blank on the Sabbath, we're missing the point. The question we should be asking is, what brings me rest and what brings me to a place of worship? What brings me rest? What brings me to a place of worship? As we've been praying through the Ten Commandments, our prayer for the Sabbath is this: "Prepare me that I may rest from all my works each day, and set apart a day to put away all earthly anxieties to delight in you." If you're not sure what brings you rest, if you're not sure what brings you to a place of worship, ask God. He'll show you. He'll take you to that place. Daily, we should be taking time to rest and to worship. What does that look like? I put together a little list to get the wheels turning for you. Spend time reading scripture. Pray. If you don't know what to pray for, just pray for your neighbors. Pray for your family. Just start making a list. You can even Google it. It'll give you a prayer list. Have supper as a family or with friends with no technology. One pastor I heard said that their family rule is this. From the moment they get home, he is not allowed to have his phone until the kids go to bed. And when the kids go to bed, he gets it for 30 minutes. And then it has to go away, and the rest of the night is just him and his wife. Can you give up your phone? Can you give up technology? You see, too many of us have an addiction to our phones that's sucking the life out of us, sucking the lives out of our families and our relationship with Christ. And I would argue that scanning social media and binge-watching Netflix does not bring us true rest. We end up comparing our lives to the best of what others are showing us. And it often leads us to just breaking another commandment, to not covet. Comer gives us an example of a day of Sabbath, that in their family, this is what they do. This is what they follow as a family on Sabbath. We do sleep in, relax, spend time in scriptures. We pray, we eat our way through the day. We enjoy nature. We go for a walk. We go to the park. Sometimes a light hike, which would not happen in my house because hiking is work. We spend time with close friends and family. We don't buy or sell except food, as we love to go for brunch or eat ice cream. We don't run errands or catch up around the house. We don't read a magazine or visit a website or go to a store because that makes us want more. And on the Sabbath, we have enough. We don't touch our email. We don't post anything on social media because our phones are turned off. We don't talk about stuff that's heavy, sad, or divisive. There's 6 other days of the week for that. We don't talk about stuff we need to get done. We rest even from the thought of work.
Amen.
That is my favorite. That is my favorite one.
It's called retirement.
Retirement. There we go. We rest from the thought of work. I would encourage you, start making a list. Start making a list for yourself, for your family. What takes you to a place of Sabbath, a place of rest, a place of worship? What are ways your family can practice Sabbath together, daily and weekly? Be ruthless about what you eliminate from your life. Dallas Willard said, you need to ruthlessly eliminate the hurry in your life. And if we truly value our relationship with Christ, our family, our kids, our friends, and if we truly value our health spiritually and physically, we will be ruthless in protecting our time. Because isn't it true that what we truly value, we give our time to? If our desire is a healthier spiritual and physical life, if we desire a deeper and life-giving relationship with Christ, would you accept the invitation of Jesus when he invited us in Matthew 11, when he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Will you accept the invitation to leave behind the heavy yoke of the world for a time and to take on the light and life-giving yoke of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, you are good. And you have given us such a good gift in the Sabbath. Holy Spirit, you have been working in our lives this morning and challenging many of us, including myself. Would we take the steps that we need to accept this beautiful gift of Sabbath, to accept the life-giving day of rest and worship. So Father, may we be bold and leave behind whatever we need to leave behind, and may we be ruthless about what we eliminate from our lives. Father, have your way. We pray. Amen.